Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode of Failing Forward. This is Hip Hop Eddie, the voice of a generation. And now your host, Kill C-Ray.
Hey, guys, welcome to Failing Forward. Brought to you by StayIlluminated.com. Go over to StayIlluminated.com right now. Type in Crappy Awesome at checkout for free shipping for all your various lifestyle needs, clothing, dopeness. Stay Illuminated. Those are the dudes. Go over there. They spread the love. Give them some love back. This show is also brought to you by Crappy Awesome. If you subscribe to Crappy Awesome, you already get this show as a bonus. Shout out to my co-host on Crappy Awesome, Mr. Arash, who's away right now creating an amazing business called Justified Hype. Look for that very soon. It's going to be dropping very soon. We're playing some roles in that, but that's on the hush hush. Don't tell anybody about that right now, except for the 30,000 of you who download these episodes. Yeah, so last week I said that I was going to bring you guys up to date on what's been going on. Man, there's been a lot of changes in my life, in particular, philosophy changes. Oh man, it's been deep, dude. It's been deep over this last year. And 2018 has already been like very, very much on the deep end of thought and progress. And man, I can tell you this right now, though. Where I'm at right now is where I've always wanted to be. I'm finally in the spot that I've wanted to be for a long time. We're scaling up at Platform Collection more than ever. We have three new series starting over there that are going to be amazing. I can tell you one of them. I'm going to give you a hint on one of them, or some insight on one of them anyways. There's a show called Verb. And basically what it is Eddie, Eddie Rangel, or you guys know him as Hip Hop Eddie, longtime producer at Crappy Awesome, founder at PlatformCollection.com, and myself are going to be following artists on an adventure. But not just any artist. Artists who are all in. Artists who really do this. People who've dedicated their lives to independent living, specifically around hip-hop. Yeah. Anyways, the first episode. Let me just say this. Here's the slight spoiler. There's a biker gang in the first episode. This show is going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. We're super proud of all the shows that we have coming up. We have a food show coming up hosted by... you don't get to know that yet. But it's going to be amazing, and we're already in production. So look out these next couple months for three new series starting at PlatformCollection.com, as well as a brand new website, revamping of the podcast, new podcast coming. I told you we're never going to stop growing. But where we're at right now with this show is, I have a special guest on the show today. I did an interview with the homie Jeffy Obvious. That's J-E-F-F-Y-O-B-V-I-O-U-S. He's an event coordinator, an artist, and he throws this amazing, I don't even know if it's monthly now. I think it's multiple times a month they're doing shows, but he represents The Gutted Cigar. You can follow at The Gutted Cigar on Instagram or at Jeffy Obvious as well. He's on the show because I've watched their brand grow over this last year, and you'll hear, and I let him know this, I just heard so many good things about his brand and what they're doing. They specialize in the live event, live show event, they're just doing a really good job at it because, and you'll hear, it has a lot to do with his philosophy on life and just being an overall really good dude. So I know I was going to share some things with you about my personal life and some things that trying to catch you up to speed with everything going on at Platform Collection. But I have a solution. I'm not going to not do that. I have a solution. I'm starting a brand new podcast. You're like, what? No. Another podcast? How many podcasts could you possibly do? I could do one every day if I want. But check this out. It's going to be something like you guys haven't really been privy to before. It's on Anchor. There's an app called Anchor. Download that app right now, because you're going to want to follow my adventures over at Anchor. We're going to be doing some really cool things over there, partnering with Anchor. Yep. It's going to be interesting, guys. Kill C. Ray over at Anchor. Download the app. And if you're listening to this on the day it came out, then I'm going to have an episode on there later today. Because as soon as I finish this, I'm jumping into that podcast. And bear with me. I got to bring everybody up to speed over at Anchor. So we'll give a little backstory, yada, yada, yada. But you guys have been with me for a while. So, like, you know, luckily there's a skip 15 seconds ahead button. So in case you get bored with the story or you don't want a refresher of where I started and how I started with all of this, I've been podcasting now for over 6 years, been doing some sort of radio format show for almost 10. Whew, goddamn. It's been a long ass time. Interviewed over 1,000 different artists now, combined with the different shows we've done. Man, it's been amazing. But really what it's been is a complete study on psychology and sociology in relation to the indie hip-hop artist and the indie artist in general, because you guys know sometimes we don't just stick to hip-hop. If there's an interesting thing happening and it's something that we want to bring to you or expose you guys to, we'll bring it on the show, you know? So, yeah. Anchor, man, I'm excited about it. I hope you guys support me over there. You guys, trust me, you're going to see the advertising for it really soon. And I think you guys are going to like it. You know what's really cool is Anchor is partnered with Spotify, so I get to play Spotify music all fucking show if I want to. I could do a whole mix show with Spotify music. And it just so happens that everybody that we interview and that we're around, they're all on Spotify now because people got their game up. In fact, most artists at least within the circles that we're around are releasing on Spotify first. So that's an interesting thing that's happening. I guess we all kind of knew that was happening soon. It's just a very clean format. It's a very easy way to spread your music. And Spotify is something that seems like there's a large majority of people who indulge in music and fans of music, the large majority is taking it in through Spotify. So that's interesting. But that's cool, though, because over at Anchor, I get to play music right off of Spotify. And so I'm going to be interviewing people. The cool thing with Anchor, though, is that I record it all on my phone. Does that mean it's going to sound shitty? Nah. You know me, G. I got the hookup. I literally have a mobile podcast studio now, ready to go for my phone. So the cool thing is when I go to events, when we go to concerts, we're jumping on tour later this year. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, I'm going to be doing them from the road. I'm going to be doing them from the green room. All the artists that were around, I'm going to be catching them. And we're not going to do like long form interviews like you get from Crappy Awesome, right? That's not what we're doing over at Anchor. We're giving you smaller form, shorter form tidbits here and there, easily digestible. You'll be able to digest them very easy. You get to hear them on the go. They're going to be on your phone waiting because you're going to download the Anchor app because you're going to support your boy Kill C. Ray, aka your cool homie Chris, and you're going to help me grow over there, and it's going to be awesome. You guys already know that we're not going over there and not planning to fuck shit up. You know we're planning to fuck shit up. You gotta know that, right? I'm putting it out to Anchor right now, the entire Anchor community. I've heard all your shows. spent like the last year listening to all your shows. Yeah, we're coming. Look for a major dent in Anchor by Platform Collection. It's going to be crazy. And yeah, man. So anyways, this show, I get to talk to Jeffy Obvious from The Gutted Cigar. Again, at The Gutted Cigar, follow them. If you're an aspiring artist or you're an artist looking to make some noise, these guys, Jeffy and his whole crew, you guys need to link up with them. And he says it on the show. If you email him, you get at him via message, he will get back to you. But they're throwing quality live shows. They've become a tour stop for a lot of the artists that you've heard on Crappy Awesome. So let's get right into that, man. I don't want to take too much away from his episode. So again, everything I told you I was going to catch you guys up on, check it out over at the Anchor show. Again, that's Kill C. Ray at Anchor. And it's going to be pretty dope, man. It's going to be dope. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Okay, so the show over at Anchor is called Awkward Raps. AWKWARD Raps. Awkward Raps with Kill C. Ray. Go check it out. I think it's going to be really dope. And yeah, enough of that. Let's get into this interview with Jeffy. Man, I can't say enough about this guy. He's out there killing it, and he's putting his heart into his work, and it shows. Shout to you, Jeffy. Shout to The Gutted Cigar. Shout to Ventura Hip Hop in general. They're out there. Inzom, all the homies, they're killing it. So check it out. This is my conversation with Jeffy Obvious from The Gutted Cigar. And I'll see you guys over at Anchor. I'm going now. I'm going to the Anchor studio right now. And I'm out. And help me out too with like the, you know, timeline. But, you know, being an artist yourself, one of the things we do, and an artist with a mind to coordinate events. Like, I get that. I think a lot of the people that might listen to the show are artists, are out there. So you guys all kind of get that. Like, it's a way of thinking. Like, not everybody has that. Because you're walking that fine line. I put myself in that category as well, where you're walking that fine line of you're artistically grounded, like you're working your own art, but you also have a mind to organize. And those two things, you know this, bro. Like, you've worked with enough artists now, you've had enough shows. That is not something that just comes from the jump. Like, not everybody has that. And it doesn't matter what level you're at. Sometimes artists really do need an entire team to do almost everything for them. I have really good friends like that, you know? But then there's that other side. Like, there's do you know, like, Viva Mescal from East of the River?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so he's one of those dudes. And he'd probably agree, if I talked to him about you, he'd agree the same way. We've had those conversations. You know Noah James, obviously. So seeing someone like you start up in Ventura, by the way, I'm familiar with Ventura. I know the odds are against, just like it very surprisingly, it's just like where I'm from, San Diego. It's a hard place to build a scene and keep it consistent without things getting fucked up. And you know what I mean, because you've probably been there. In fact, part of what you're doing, I'm assuming, was because it wasn't being done, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, okay, so let's start. So that's kind of like how I decided, like, man, I want to talk to you because, I felt all those things. Plus the fact that a lot of my really good friends have had experiences doing shows up there with you guys, and everything is always positive. It's always like, yo, this is really dope. And this is something that I feel like I can tell about your shows. It's very much like, a guy I consider a brother of mine, Kali. He does Hip Hop Wens and Bars Weekly down in San Diego, and he's doing an amazing job. I compare it a lot to what you guys are doing, because he's nearing that stage where it's just consistently good. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody's kind of noticing. And just like yourself, you know, people are noticing more and more. So from your perspective now, when you first started doing Gutted Cigar, or tell us how that came about. What was the idea behind that?
Actually, the Gutted Cigar started as a group about 8 years ago. And, you know, we, over the years, all had kind of like our different things going. So we kind of split up, you know. I actually left Cali for about 3 years. I went down to Louisiana and was doing events down there. Mm. And I picked up a lot of, you know, just more of a understanding for different kinds of music. You know what I mean? They weren't necessarily boom bap for me. So it was definitely a way for me to explore, you know, different areas. Like I got to do like the South by Southwest thing and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So when I came back to Cali, there wasn't really anything going on in the 805. You know what I mean? I have the homies from ASR who have been throwing amazing events for like the last 20 years.
Right, right.
But they weren't super consistent. You know what I mean? It was more so every 3-4 months, you know what I mean? And kind of sending people off in different directions. You know what I mean? In the 805, you don't really have nowhere to go on the weekends. You know what I mean? It's more so head towards LA, head towards Santa Barbara. You know what I mean? Like get out of Ventura County per se.
Yeah.
So that was the reason we brought it back. I love the name. You know what I mean? We had all the logo designs and all that for years now. So we kind of just transitioned to a different market. And it actually ended up working out in our benefit because we like to do a lot of like philanthropy work.
Yeah.
So not only with the shows, like, is it just like a hip hop, you know, thing? Like we also do, we take proceeds from the shows and buy school supplies. Camp food drives, toy drives,
right.
You know, anything community related.
And I noticed that you guys
incorporate.
I noticed that you guys also like seem to be making statements with your shows. You know what I mean? Like there's an obvious statement behind like the all female lineup was amazing. I heard what you said about that as well, which was amazing. But there was definitely like, cause here's the thing, dude, you know, this being an artist and having worked your way through promotions is a fucked up game. If you don't manage it well, it can get out of control really quickly. And the meaning behind what you started with could go away really quickly. Because of money. I mean, let's be honest, that's what it is. It's money. There's a balance that has to be paid attention to, because if you don't, you almost certainly fall to the wayside.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So you come back, but let's back up though, because I want to hear about that, because that's super interesting. Like, why did you leave?
Rent, honestly.
Just rent, because you were just like, yeah.
Well, see, my original goal was to backpack to New York. That was just like a goal I've had forever. I stopped in Louisiana.
Wait. We can't jump over that shit. So I'm a slow you down every once in a while. So that part, what? I mean, obviously, I mean, why? Like, what was the idea? Like, yo, I want to backpack to New York. Like, that's not. And trust me, bro, I've done enough of these interviews to know that it might be normal for you. Understand, that's not a normal thing for most people. Most listeners are probably like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Yeah, I hear you.
So where did that come from?
I've always been doing the music thing. You know what I mean? I love to perform. You know what I mean? That's still like my first love. So, you know, I had just gone out of college or finished college, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to skip out as soon as my lease is up on my apartment, and I'm just going to take off and backpack to New York and kind of explore a little bit.
Mm.
On the way there, I happened to stop in Louisiana where I have some family and friends, you know what I mean? And I ended up staying there for about 3 years. I don't know what the hell happened, but I ended up staying there for 3 years, getting the show stuff going on.
What were you doing?
Really enjoying throwing shows.
No, but I mean is that how you were eating? Like, were you just working wherever you could? Like, what was like life for you?
Yeah, shows. Shows has been life for me for about 5-6 years now.
Okay, dude. Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit. When did you feel like you got a good understanding of what that part of the business was. Because I'm assuming up until you started throwing shows, you were just doing the artist thing, right?
Yeah, but even then, I was dabbling in shows in Cali before I left. Like, I had thrown my first show at, like, 18. We brought, like, Self-Provoked, Pause One, like, when they were still, you know, kind of getting out there.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of enjoyed doing the event organizing thing, and it was kind of always just in the back pocket. You know, I didn't really take it super serious. It was more so like, oh, I could do a show here, I could do a show there.
Right.
Yeah. This is probably the first time in my life that I've ever been like super consistent. Like, we're up to doing multiple shows a month now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's a full-on brand at this point. At least I can tell you, if you guys need any confirmation of that at all, as someone who runs a brand, watching your brand grow, it is a brand. Because people aren't saying, like, hey, let's go to the Self-Provoked show or the Reverie show. They're like, hey, did you hear about that Gutted Cigar show? And then fill in the blank. You know what I mean? And that's how you can kind of tell that once that conversation starts happening, the brand is standing on its own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, so...
yeah, that's a beautiful feeling.
You were back there. Were you... Dude, when you went back... yeah, actually, okay. So when you first leave Cali, did you feel defeated?
No, not necessarily. It was honestly like a real eye opener for me. There's the different regions. You know, you really have to know your region when you do certain, you know, events. Like, let's be real, a boom bap show probably wouldn't work in the middle of I don't know, Tennessee.
Right. Anywhere in the it'll South, in, basically.
It'll kill in Cali. So, you know what I mean? That's another reason we're so diverse with sound.
Yeah.
I like to cater to different types of audience. So if you come out to shows, you'll notice the crowd is really diverse. It's just people from all walks of life, and everybody gets along. And that's like the best part about it, I would say, because off top, when we started throwing shows, we started throwing shows in Oxnard originally, in South Oxnard at that, and we got a lot of slack from everybody just saying, yo, these aren't going to work. It's a bad part of town. It's not this, that, and third, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Here we are 2 years later. We haven't even had an argument at our shows, you know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah, that's interesting, man. You know, on a sidebar, like, I was talking to Kali about that, and we tend to talk a lot about like the philosophies going into like running these businesses and how to keep things afloat. And one of the things we talked about, because it's very similar with his events, like they're very diverse. They're very no violence. No, there's not even been a fight. Nothing. But it is crazy that the promoters, because I've met other promoters, right? And there's promoters who feel like that part, like whatever the vibe is not their responsibility. They're like, I booked the artist, you come, whatever happens, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, I'm sure you know, like those always fail because the vibe can be controlled. You can build a culture around your event where people know when we're at this event, this is how we behave at this event. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on this really dope thing. But that shit has to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I definitely don't agree with the, you know, promoter not setting the vibe, because especially with our shows, we kind of don't keep it only to a music sense. You know what I mean? We also include the live painters, the different vendors. You know what I mean? Like, we have like a swap meet at every show, just with different booths and stuff going on. You know what I mean? More so to create the interaction aspect of it, because I hate going to shows where nobody talks. Everyone just kind of kicks it in their own corner, and it's just, you know what I mean?
Right.
I want people out there ciphering and just interacting with each other, building. Like, that's the main goal at the end of the day. You know what I mean? I definitely don't agree with that, but I mean, I feel where they're coming from.
Yeah.
I would definitely say you have some kind of pull in the way things flow. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Agreed, man. Okay, so you leave Cali, you're back there, you're learning the game. Did you have any mentors? Like, did anybody, what shifted? Like, I love to talk to artists about, like, because you obviously had this because you're describing it in some way or form, and I don't know how you see it, but it does seem like along the way you've had different, like, levels of awakening. And trust me, that's something our audience is super, they're super used to us talking about that shit. So it's not like everybody's like, what do they mean? Like, they definitely understand what I mean. And I feel like you've had that. So when you were out there, what was like that first realization of like, maybe like, oh shit, I could do shit different. Like what happened?
It was more so just the way things operate. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's an oversaturation with like shows in California, but people kind of feel like there's a certain agenda that you need to stick by when throwing a show, or like even as simple as like setting a ticket price, people would be like, yo, all the other shows are $10. I need a $10 show.
Yeah,
that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you really need to explore your options and kind of just, you know, listen to the people. Like, that's another big one. We really take like the people's suggestions into consideration when booking shows. Like,
How does that happen?
What was that?
How does that happen? Like, what do you guys do to do that?
Oh, we're very active on social media.
Yeah.
Just even at shows, you know what I mean? People will come up and just introduce themselves. I feel like that's the best way. If you're looking to get booked, the best way is like a local artist is to come to a show and talk to me directly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me get to know who you are and what it is you do instead of just sending me a SoundCloud leak, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like just people need to kind of branch out a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, we can't be following the same formulas and doing this, that, and the third. Like, it's okay to try new things, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so you're out there again. Did you have any mentors? Did you find anybody, like partners that you were working with, inspirations?
I linked up with a small indie label. And like I said, that was the first time I got to see more so of, I'd say, like the mainstream side of things.
Mm.
Like how a label operates, you know what I mean? As far as, you know, having people actually booking your shows and doing certain stuff for you like that.
Right.
But at the same time, I felt like that kind of... it kind of held me back from like me being so creative, you know what I mean? Knowing that I have to go off somebody else's word or you know, certain formulas and stuff just to get stuff done. And, you know, as soon as I figured it out, like, I was kind of like, I want to say lacking inspiration, but I needed something more, you know what I mean? So that's another reason these shows are so like kind of personally fulfilling, you know what I mean? Because I get to really test my creative nature outside of just making music, you know what I mean? So it's definitely a different world, and like, I encourage everybody to go get something like that. If not the same thing, you know what I mean? Something similar that's just personally fulfilling.
Yeah. So when I heard about what you guys were doing and I started watching it and saw the curating of everything you guys are doing, it made me think like the voyage to that point could not have been smooth, because a smooth voyage doesn't get you that kind of result. Like, it's rough.
I don't know.
Right? So what brought,
definitely.
What was the decision that you had just, you had left Cali, like basically to like survive, right? To be able to eat, to be able to like function as a human being, you had to leave Cali, and then you decide to come back. What was that decision like?
That decision was probably the best decision I ever made. Like, I love the South, just being like, cost of living was so much easier on my pockets. I was able to travel a lot more. Let's say I was 3 hours from Houston, 5 from Dallas, 9 from Atlanta. Like, I was in the middle of everything, you know what I mean? So it was really dope. But like I said, considering I'm kind of in a world where I don't really know nobody, you know what I mean? Like, I was out of my element for sure. I had to make that transition back, like, just like I said, for me. The shows, when we came back, they honestly, it was a one-time thing that just ended up turning into a 2-year thing.
Wow.
it was not a plan set in stone. It just so happened to work. You know what I mean? Me and my boy sat down one day, talked about throwing an event, and then it hasn't stopped from there. So again, that's why I really push the whole, don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to reach out to certain people. Don't be afraid to be the first person to reach out. I feel like a lot of people wait for that phone call in order to connect with people.
Yeah. And yeah, it's big.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to take a little bit of an initiative in towards networking, you know what I mean? But seeing as how well the last 2 years have went, like, the transition wasn't super rough, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Getting back and getting comfortable was amazing. Like I said, I lived in Cali for 24 years before I left, so you know what I mean? Like, I had all my people here. You know, it was easy to get back and get going with, you know, the community in need of something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody was willing to put into that and make something happen. And it's just gradually growing, you know?
Do you feel like, so where do you feel like you guys are right now as like a scene, like in Ventura? Like, do you feel like you guys have a good understanding now of kind of how the business of having a scene works, you know what I mean? Like how it's super important. Like me being from San Diego, it's super important that you have a scene. I understand that.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, and I wonder how do the artists in the city, are they getting that?
Oh yeah. The artists, honestly, like not even just in the 805, because we do have a good talent pool here, but we got a lot of people from other areas. Like, we've had a lot of out-of-staters come out.
Yeah.
It's more so something to come and take home with you. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
When you come out to the 805 and you see how everybody, it kind of gives you an idea of how to try different things and kind of, you know what I mean? I wouldn't necessarily say, like, is networking, but it's more so like I said, just not having to follow a certain format, you know what I mean? And I like that, you know what I mean? If people come out to the 805 and maybe take it back to LA, or take it to Bakersfield or, you know, wherever they're from, and just kind of incorporate that into their scene.
Yeah.
They'll see a lot of benefits coming from it, from the community side too. Cause like I said, hip hop has always been more or less positive in terms of giving back to the community. And there's different avenues and people willing to get involved with hip hop that you wouldn't even expect to kind of gravitate towards that scene. But you know what I mean? Everybody's really collaborating these days, and it's beautiful.
It is a very beautiful thing, man. I feel like, you know what I want to get into a little bit, because you hinted to this throughout the conversation, like, and I've heard your music, and you feel like you have a boom bap roots. And when you said like, I wanted to like kind of expand and get out of just boom bap and stuff. What was that transition like? Cause that's something we talk about on the show a lot too, right? Like we always talk about like, and I feel like with events like yours, with, you know, hopefully stuff that, you know, we're doing at Platform Collection, we're really invested in trying to, chisel away at that, right? Like that feeling, because dude, I'm from a boom bap background, and but I always knew like I'm not fucking Nas, you know what I mean? Like I'm just not that. I don't really have a desire to like just like to be able to put something so dense together, you know what I mean? Nas is a god at doing that. But to me, my heart was in boom bap because to me, the culture, when it was born, that's what the surroundings were like. And I think that's what kind of people tend to forget, or at least we've been theorizing on this. Like, I feel like people forget that part of the feel of hip hop was geographical when it started. It's what it felt like. It felt like boom bap, but it was born there, right? So had it been born in the South, how would we, you know, would we be, when we heard boom bap now, would we be like, man, fuck boom bap? Like how people, like a lot of old heads, dog, I talk to them all the time. like there, it's still hard to wrap their minds around the evolution of hip hop, because a lot of people see it as like it's devolved, and I don't necessarily see it like that. I definitely remember being super young and thinking about the things that I'm into, and yeah, a lot of them didn't make sense. Not now, yeah. You know what I mean? The difference is that we can watch people grow up now on TV, whereas before you had to be primed for that shit. So I take the blame off the artists. At 16, I don't know. Dude, your brain isn't even fully developed. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even blame you for not acting like an adult. You're not an adult. And so one of the conversations we have a lot with, like, especially the age game in hip hop, and I feel like it's getting a lot better. It's getting a lot better. Dude, think about this. This is how you guys are contributing to that, right? Like, you guys book Gavlin, right? Mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
You guys book, like, who's a young artist right now? Someone super young.
Bobby Butcher.
Bobby Butcher's young, right? And you book Parker. Parker's an adult. You see what I'm saying? Like, the reality is that if we take time, we do, like, you can understand that all this shit is in one pot. Like, we just think it's different, but it is not. It's literally hip-hop growing up. And now the sectioning off that's happening in hip hop is simply, it's just sectioning off like life does. Of course, the 20-year-olds don't hang out with the 50-year-olds, and the 16-year-olds think the 20-year-olds are old. You know what I mean? Like, it's, that's just the way it is. That's life. But to me, that's something that we could celebrate. And I feel like the events that you guys do kind of celebrate that shit. Like, it's the community again.
In the same sense, working with ASR, like I said, they have probably 20 years plus in the game right now. And us being so young, like, it's tight. Like, I don't know if you've ever, like, looked at the flyers and realized that we usually set up, like, an older artist and a younger artist on the same bill. Like,
right.
When we did Reverie, we also had Tumex out.
Yeah.
You know, for the young kids who love Reverie might not know who Tumex is.
But they should, but they will like him.
Kind of bridges that gap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's super dope.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. That's real curating, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's what a curator does. Like, a curator presents two, like, you could present two ideas, and the idea behind presenting those two things is for the audience to see the connection in them. Like, why you shouldn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't hate on this if you listen to this, because it's the same family. Like, you just don't know that yet. You know what I mean? Like for instance, like, this is legit. Like, we like to play this game on the show a lot. Like, we'll be like, so, like, no Tumex, no Self-Provoked, no Kid Frost, no Tumex, no, you know what I mean? Like, and just keep going back and back and see the direct line of, I mean, it really is a hip hop family. When you start to break it down like that, we all have pieces of each other. You know what I mean? Like, that's just real. Like, anybody who says that's not true is ridiculous. You just got to be around this long enough and go from city to city to see similarities with people who may have never even met.
Yeah.
But it's just culture. Definitely. You know what I mean? Like, that's what culture is. And so when you guys, when you guys put that, okay, but how did you feel? I'm talking you, dude. Personally, in your heart, as a boom bap guy, when you started to work outside of that box, what was that like? Like, for you creatively, your idea, what was it like?
It was difficult. I'm a fucking stubborn hip hop head even to this day. You know what I mean? I like what I like, but again, it's not always about what I like necessarily, or, you know, none of that. But yeah, it was definitely a really difficult transition, especially like going to the South where they don't have the typical Cali hip hop politics. You know what I mean? Like, the you don't rap over your vocals. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
They just kind of follow their own thing, you know. But in a sense, like, watching that was like mind blowing to me, because I'm like, yo, these kids are still out here having fun, whereas in you know, California, a lot of times we get caught up in those politics and we forget to have fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's big.
We're so used to following what everybody else is saying. Like we really kind of like cut ourselves short on the thought of being ourselves. You know what I mean? Like you feel you have to cater to a certain crowd or a certain audience or a certain, like you really just have to, you know, test out some waters. Like it's definitely a different ball game. Like, you know, outside of your comfort zone, but like it's very important to get some of that time in. So if you ever get a chance to like just travel and go spend some time in the middle of fucking nowhere, like I encourage you to do it, because you never know what's gonna spark up out there. You know what
that's,
I mean? Like
that's super big, man. And it's I've always thought like one of my, you know, actually like a short term goal is one of those. I've always wanted to start a program just to travel kids around. You know what I mean? Like for them to really see other cultures. And I feel like hip hop is such, I mean, you know that, like you can come, like just cause you and I have talked, right? Or other artists in San Diego or whatever, like you can come here and it is like a pseudo fraternity of just people who agree to like, yo, I got to look out for this dude cause he's in the hip hop family. You know what I mean? Like there really is that thing. And I feel like the frustrations I think that happen a lot of times from like the older cats are just traditionalists, right? Like, which is not a bad word. People feel like sometimes we say that on the show, traditionalist, like it's a bad word. It's not a bad word. I think that's super dope. I think it's really dope when somebody's just like a scholar of one thing. That's great. I'm just not that. You know what I mean? Like I always tell people, like I listen to like one of my biggest references is always the same thing is on my phone right now. I have like ASAP Rock's entire collection and the new ASAP Rocky album. Because to me, the game I like to play in my head is let me follow this. Like I'm going to follow it down the rabbit hole and I want to know how this connects. And ultimately, the reality of hip-hop is such a beautiful art that you can literally create a song for every emotion. So if the moment we start telling people they shouldn't say or they can't do or they... I get most of us are coming from a place of like we just want to take care. Like, you know, that shit is going in a bad direction. But here's the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is we grow just like they grow. And so a 16-year-old is not going to listen to me because I said, yo, I've been there. That means literally zero because I've been there. You know what I mean? Like, and dude, I'd have a 20-year-old telling me like at 16, like, hey, you need to do this. Dude, I didn't give a fuck what that kid had to say. Like, honestly. You know what I mean? But that's the reality of it. And I think if we start looking at it, hip hop, just from like a human standpoint, it gets harder to hate. You know what I mean? Like it really does, you know? And it's funny because, man, dude, do you know Kali, by the way?
He's actually coming out the 19th and he's rocked some shows in the past.
Have you had conversations with him or have you had a chance to be able to sit down with him? Man, you guys are...
Yes, sir. He's actually
similar.
The reason he linked me with Parker and all that. So, yeah, shout out to Kali. That's good people, man.
Yeah, dude. You guys share a lot. Because, I mean, that was one of the conversations, like, I have had with him because he's a super... you know, boom bap hip hop head. He's like an authoritarian on that because he knows his shit. And he's put a lot into it.
Literates, man.
Yeah, exactly. And
I was listening to Kali in high school.
Oh, he's gonna love that shit. But shout out to Kali, by the way. So it's crazy because when he's like I've watched him grow as well. Like, you know, we're really close friends and I've been able to watch him go through that, a lot of the same stuff that you're talking about, you know, like just a realization of almost like time and place. You know what I mean? Like it really is like, and sometimes it's fun to like put all these people together because, you know, they might not know, but you know that they're all going to get it. You know what I mean? Like, And it's super dope to see. You know what? I wanted to ask you really quick because I don't want the thoughts this gave me. Did anybody make you a fan after like working with them, and you may have not been a fan before?
Not necessarily. I feel like there hasn't been any artists that we booked that just have unbearable music.
Uh-huh.
So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There are some people who really, like, got me on their performance skills, per se. Like, there was this kid named Figgy Baby. He's from L.A.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of just like a reference. Somebody threw his name out there, like, you want to throw him on the show? Yeah. So we threw him a slot, and that kid is an entertainer. Like, he blew my fucking mind on his stage presence. How you know what?
Yeah.
Catch a lot of people, especially in hip-hop, who still cut microphones.
Absolutely.
It pisses me off.
Right.
But this kid was a total entertainer, and, like, it blew my mind. Like, I started throwing his name out to everybody. Like, you need to put him on your show. Just gonna add quality everywhere. You know what I mean?
That's really good.
So
give us
like
some more.
That come around.
Give us some more. Like, I don't know. Like, who should? If people aren't familiar, let's start with people in your city. If people aren't familiar with some of these artists, who should they get familiar with?
Actually, there's two off the top of my head that are actually gonna be in San Diego soon. I don't know if you know Enzom.
Yeah.
And Mark Ford.
Yep.
But these guys are doing it right now. They're definitely representing the county well. Mike Bless is also one of them.
I mean, Enzom, Mike Bless, like,
honestly, too many to name.
Those dudes, it's interesting with those two in particular because, you know, I've watched them over the years put in so much work. Like, they've put in, like, they're not new artists. You know what I mean? Like, not to me, but they're about to be to, like, the rest of the world. You know what I mean? And it's always dope to see, like, because for people listening, for the younger, we get a lot of younger listeners to the show. Everybody always asks that same question, you know, like, what is it, you know, what does it take? What do you got to do? And the reality is everyone we're talking about, even the kid who you said, who's the kid you said who's like a super entertainer?
Figgy.
Okay. So even that kid, right? It doesn't matter what you think of them. The reality is to get to certain levels, a lot of work has to be put in. So whether that kid's fucking performing in front of a mirror every fucking day for his entire life, those are the hours. He's logging hours. So,
definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, so there's a huge argument for not like trying to pay attention to what you don't have and you going out and getting the shit that you need to be able to, you know, that the shit that you really want to do, you know, like you need to go get that shit. Like, and the only way to do that is through work. Like Mike Bless work, Enzom work, like these, it's undeniable. Cause all you got to do is do a little Google search and you'll see. And that's super dope. Okay. So outside of Ventura, who are you really feeling right now? Like who are some of your favorites? Who do you think people should check out? Other than yourself, by the way, please check him out. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spreaker, go over to platformcollection.com. All his links will be there. So make sure you check him out, download his shit, blow his shit up. But who else should people be listening for?
Honestly, the 667 Colt, Bobby Butcher, Illmac. I know Illmac's still rather new to Cali.
Yeah. They're ridiculous, right?
But yeah, that whole collective is.
I think Hide and Seek Zoo now too. I think I want to say they're fucking with Hide and Seek Zoo now too.
Oh yeah. Also, that cat Gremlin. I'm definitely trying to get him out for a show soon.
Orange County Gremlin.
Writers right now. Yes, sir.
Oh my god, dude! Why has that not happened? Like, what the fuck? He would. Yeah, I think is he aware of what's happening? Because he would definitely do it, dog. Like that. He's definitely be out there.
It's going to happen eventually, but he's one of my favorite writers right now, like, hands down. I still like the conscious music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so shout out to you. Dude,
he's definitely got a nice pen.
He writes a book every time he writes a rap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's dope, man. Yeah, 667, that's a very interesting thing, dude. I shot a Severe video when Bobby was Severe, and watching him go through the, and I think, yeah, that was literally his last video as Severe. And it was super interesting watching him go through that transition too, because I was just talking to Tumex about this on Sunday. We were talking specifically about them, how you start to watch artists kind of figure out like the place they feel the most comfortable. You know what I mean? They've been, because I mean, arguably you could look at Severe came from a boom back background, but Bobby Butcher is completely different. And it's the same person, you know what I mean? Like, but the reality is, in outside of music, if you look like at someone, right? Like somebody used to listen to boom bap and now they do this. Nobody would care. Like everybody be like, yeah, that's what happens. Like people grow up, people do other shit, people get into other things. You might meet a girl tomorrow that's into punk, and all of a sudden you're throwing punk shows. You know what I mean? Like it that's just life. But because, again, we pretty much have been able to watch Bobby Butcher grow up online.
Oh, yeah. What I like about that just collective in general is the differences in sounds they have. Like, I grew up watching Illmatic battles, you know what I mean?
Whew.
So Illmatic with that Chase Moore production, anything Chase Moore produces, even as an MC, Chase Moore is just fucking nice with it.
Yeah, Chase is ridiculous.
Like, that whole team, they just have so many different kinds of sounds coming out right now, and I definitely fuck with what they're doing, you know what I mean?
That's really dope, man. Man, Doug, I'm super glad we connected. I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I said that when we first reached out to you guys. I felt like I just had to reach out to you because I was like, you know, when you do this for a while and you start to find some success, it's very easy to like look around and kind of not know where you're at sometimes. You know what I mean? Because things move fast. And I think I know for me, there was times when Platform Collection was building up and then the podcast started building up and then 2Mex's shit, all this stuff started happening, and you have to kind of slow down and go like, oh shit, that's right. Like, this is what, like, I'm doing this shit. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't just like a part of me. This is me. And that's why I wanted to talk to you specifically, because I know that, like I said, man, I see the shit you guys do, and I definitely feel like there's blood, sweat, and tears in that, and it's a dope thing. And now there's a lot of happiness in it too, and that's even doper because that's the point. I'll tell you, you know, right now, anything we can ever do for you guys, let us know. People, please follow my dude. Tell everybody how to get connected with you, what they should be reaching out for, what they should be, you know, whatever you want to tell them.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at The Gutted Cigar. Probably the easiest people to get a hold of on the internet. If you message us, we will respond. Call us, we will respond.
Facts.
Emails, the whole nine.
Facts.
We're always looking to network with new artists, just new talent in general, painters, vendors, brands, the whole nine. Hit us up. Like, we have multiple shows going on a month, ranging from different kinds of stuff. We recently just tapped into the cannabis field, so we got the cannabis events going. We have the all-in family-friendly events. We have the straight hip-hop, the straight music. Pretty much anything you want to do. And we do freelance jobs. So if you need help throwing your next event, hit us up and we will help you with that.
There it is there. Dude, I will see you. We're actually filming. We're going to be filming with Parker and Kali when they go up. So I will see you then for sure. Maybe before then. Either way, thank you so much for doing this, dude. Guys, if you're listening to us on anywhere podcast can be found, you can find us. So make sure you go over to platformcollection.com. Make sure you check out all the other podcasts over there. 2Mex's new season is ridiculous and funny. Go listen to that shit. Cookbook is killing it. There's a bunch of shows out there. Go check that out. But dude, thank you so much. Please support everything my boy Jeffy is doing. And roll through the Gutted Cigar events, man. They're killing it. Just follow them on Instagram. You'll see where they're at. I'm assuming it's not slowing down anytime soon, right? You're not announcing your retirement right now or anything, right?
No, we're too far in. It's going to keep going forever.
Word up, my G. And once again, man, you ever down in San Diego or whatever, hit me up and I'll meet you out there and I'll show you around the city.
Word up, brother. I appreciate you having us, man. It means more than you know. Anything we could do for y'all as well, feel free to hit us up.
Thank you, G. And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, bro.
All right, bro. Peace. Yeah, that was the homie Jeffy Obvious. Shout out to Jeffy Obvious at Jeffy Obvious on Instagram, at The Gutted Cigar on Instagram. Make sure if you're listening to this show, go over to platformcollection.com right now. Check out all the podcasts in the network. This show's not officially on Platform Collection right now because the bosses won't let... No, I'm just kidding. We are the bosses. It's just not on there right now. So, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I want to put Failing Forward on Platform Collection specifically because I'm not always going to be talking to rappers. So, I don't know. But we're all family, right? You know where to find us. If you're subscribed to Crappy Awesome on any of the networks, you get this show anyway. So I guess it doesn't need to be on Platform Collection. But go to Platform Collection right now. Support all the artists that are on there right now. Our front page is crazy talented. Our front page is crazy talented. I said it again. Go there. Check out all those artists. Consume the podcasts. And look for the new series coming soon. There's a bunch of new series, video series, new podcasts. And don't forget to check my show over at Anchor. Go do that now. Now, download the app. I hope you downloaded the app while you were listening to Jeffy. Come on, man. Help a brother out. We'll see you guys next time. Make sure, again, platformcollection.com and support our ever so lovely sponsors at stayilluminated.com. Type in Crappy Awesome at checkout. And you got yourself some free shipping. Bitch. All right, man. We'll see you guys next time. Failing Forward. I am Kelsey Ray, and I'm out.
This concludes this week's episode of Failing Forward. Yeah, bitch.